1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul's wrapping up this important book, and he has some final admonitions. If you would, let's stand together. We'll read a few verses here, and then we'll pray and begin the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'll begin reading in verse 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, if Timotheus comes, see that he be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto thee, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. The title of this message is, Be a Real Man. Now I know this is Father's Day, and we've got ladies here, and I guarantee God's Word applies to men and ladies today, but we're going to focus in on the men. Let's be a real man according to the Scripture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is enough. It's exactly what we need. And Lord, I pray for our men specifically today on Father's Day that you would stir up in us what it means to be a true man of God, that you would take this truth and apply your word to every heart, that you would help homes and marriages, that you would help us to know how to raise our young people, that most of all, Lord, that you'd use this truth to spark a revival in hearts that would have an impact in ways that we perhaps will never even know. So, Lord, be glorified right now through your word. Fill me with your spirit. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive your truth. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's Father's Day, and it's a special day for me, anyone who is a father. But we all can remember and thank the Lord for the fathers in our lives. And I don't know your story or your background. Sometimes for some, that's a happy thought. For others, it's not. And I'm aware of that. But we need to ask the Lord to stir us up, to truly hold up the banner high as to what the Bible says about the home. I think we understand we need revival for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is our country is falling apart. It's crumbling. One of the reasons the country is crumbling is because the country is made up of homes and the homes are crumbling. And I think one of the big reasons homes are crumbling is because there's such confusion nowadays. Confusion about right and wrong and truth. And if you dare to stand for absolute truth, you just set yourself against this world. And we live in a strange time where just to declare that there's such a thing as male and female, that is a dangerous truth now. Did anybody think that you live long enough to see the day where declaring the difference between male and female would become a controversial issue? I couldn't quite picture that, could you? And yet that's where we live. And we live in a very dangerous time where not only do people refuse to accept not only biology, but they refuse to accept any authoritative standard from the Word of God, but we have children growing up who really don't know what a man is. And women don't know what they are and what they're supposed to be. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of different conceptions of masculinity. For some, it's hunting, fishing, killing things, you know, that kind of... Now, I've never been a hunter. I have great respect for those who are. I'm not much of a fisher, but I have dropped a line in a couple of times. I've got a fish story, but it's not that exciting, you know, but I'm not a hunter. This past spring, I had the joy of speaking at a wild game dinner up in Michigan, and they do this every year, and they had 400 people from the community show up for this wild game dinner, and we had zebra, and we had crocodile, and we had, oh, and it wasn't zebra, what was it? Did we have zebra? Kangaroo, that's what it was, kangaroo meatballs, sound good? It was amazing. And of course, venison and all this good stuff. And they came for the food and they came for the giveaways and they stayed for the gospel. And I got to preach the gospel to 400 hunters and their wives dressed in all their gear, you know. And I had to tell them, hey, I'm sorry, I'm a little out of place. I've never killed a deer. I never killed anything, you know, except a spider or, you know, dads have to be good at killing bugs, right? But you know what? That's not necessarily the definition of being a man. You don't have to go kill something. There's a lot of confusion. You know, my father was not much of a mechanic. And if something broke, guess what? There's a shop for that down the road. That's what you do, okay? And that's not a rip against my father. He's a wonderful man, but he wasn't a mechanic. Now, his father, my grandpa, was. He could fix anything. He could take the whole thing apart and put it all back together, and that's just who he was. Well, now, I've kind of got my dad's genes as far as I'm concerned. I'm not much of a mechanic, but now I'm an evangelist, which means I need to be a mechanic. All right, because I'm driving a truck and I'm pulling a trailer and everything breaks and you have to watch a lot of YouTube videos to figure out what you got to do and then figure out what kind of tool to buy and how to use it. Anybody done a little YouTube training on how to fix something? It's amazing what we can do nowadays. But you know what? I'm not necessarily Mr. Fix It. I can break it, but trying to figure out how to fix it. But that all those different stereotypes are not necessarily what it means to be a man. And we're looking here this morning about what it means to be a godly man. We want to see what God has to say about it. I think it's an interesting phrase right in the middle of verse 13. Did you notice it? It starts with the word quit. Now, what on earth does quit have to do with men? Men don't quit. Right, guys? Come on now. Men don't quit. Those are the kind of phrases we hear. Now, this is not talking about quitting. This is a old usage of the word quit. How about the word acquittal? Ever heard that term? An acquittal. What does it mean to be acquitted? Well, it means that literally your innocence, which is your true identity, has been proven and brought out into the public. That's what an acquittal is. It's to bring out and display what you really are so that there's no question about it. And so the word quit has that same idea. And so it literally is saying, show what you are. If you're a man, show it. Prove it. Be it. And to get into the Greek, which I got a little Greek training, but the Greek is androzomai. Androzomai. And so you have the word andro, there's the word for man, but the ending is interesting. It literally means be a man for yourself or to yourself. That's a strange way. We don't have that idea. There's something called the middle voice. This is very boring, but the middle voice. We're used to active and passive verbs, right? Well, Greek also has something called the middle. And that meant what they're doing, you're not doing it to someone or someone else, but it's being done by you. To you. It's the middle voice. And so it's saying, androzomai, be a man for yourself. Now, guys, I think we understand here, there's something down deep in the way God has made us. We want something called integrity. Something called honor. We want to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I'm a man and I'm doing what God has called me to do. All right, that's what it means to be a man, that you take what God has made you and you live it. And you don't do it for someone else, but you do it for your own sake. Now understand, we do all things for God's glory. Amen? I'm not talking about selfishness here. I'm talking about the fact that you know that you are stepping up as a man. For your own conscience sake. For your own identity. There's a big word. We hear a lot about identity nowadays, right? Okay, he's saying, if you're a man, be it and own it and step into it and do it for yourself. Do it for your own identity. Now, that's the big deal right now because the country has rejected this idea of true biblical identity as male and female. We live in the day of confusion. Guess who's the author of confusion? Not God. God is not the author of confusion. All right, so we look at that. Quit you like men literally means be a man. Show it. Prove it. Take what you are and make it obvious to yourself and to others. Now, what is it that we are to do to bring that forward? Now, once again, ladies, I'm not asking you to be a man. I'm saying this is what a man should do. But ladies, all the qualities I'm about to bring forward are for men and women. I'll just say men are to take the lead on these qualities. Men and women all need the qualities we're about to see. But men need to be the men to step up and to take the lead on this, especially in our homes and in our churches. All right. First of all, a real man is a caretaker. A real man is a caretaker. Look at the verse 13. Watch ye. Watch ye. That's a command to watch, to be a watchman, to oversee, to observe, to protect. Watch ye. That's a caretaker. Adam, before Eve even came around, before she was brought from the side of Adam and formed, Adam was given a job. It's interesting that Adam was given a calling and a job before he was given a wife. And his job at first was to name the animals and to tend the garden and to keep it. He was in his very first job was to be a caretaker. I find it interesting that the word for husband is a farmer. Did you know that word, the husband, means farmer? A husbandman. You see that in the Bible. Husbandman. He's a vine dresser, a farmer. What does a farmer do? He cares. Not just for the crops, but also for the equipment. Oh, there's the mechanics again. Oh, no. Maintaining the house, the barn. Okay. Now, this is a reality. If you're a man, God has a certain sphere of influence that He has placed you over where you are the watchman for that place of influence. You are the one observing, watching, caring, and accountable for that sphere of influence. Watch ye. A man is a caretaker. You know, it's interesting the kind of things that happen when you're just trying to get a simple thing like take the family out for a bite to eat. And I remember a few years back, I think I had some of my kids with me, and we were just going to pop into McDonald's and get a burger on the way somewhere. Now, kids, you know, McDonald's is the place to be for kids. Not so much for adults, but, you know, it's still a kid's favorite. And it's not unusual for them to say the ice cream machine is not, what, working. I don't know what the deal is with the McDonald's ice cream machine, but supposedly it just doesn't work every once in a while, and there's nobody on site to fix it. All right, granted, it's broken, no ice cream today. But one time, and my kids remember this, we pulled up, and the first thing the lady said through the crackly speaker was, "I'm sorry, there's no beef today." I said, "There's no what? I'm sorry, we have no beef." I said, "Okay, thank you very much. Bye." And I kept driving. If you're a McDonald's and you sell hamburgers, you had better have what? Yeah, hamburger, beef. Okay, now, what happened? Somebody who was in charge of ordering the beef did not do that. Right? Management, somebody didn't check the inventory. Somebody didn't make the phone call. Whatever the process is, somebody didn't do it. And no doubt, somebody was not watching. Somebody did not oversee. There was no caretaker. That's a management problem. That's a leadership problem. I don't know if it was a man or a woman. The point is, somebody didn't check. So they lost our business that day. Somebody has to watch. A real man steps up and is watchful. This church has a God-appointed pastor, a shepherd, and his job, among other things, is to be a caretaker, to be the one watching, to oversee, to look down the road and see where we're going and to make sure that we're on track and to be watching over, as the Bible says, to watch for your souls, to be watching in prayer. But that's not just for the pastor. And a pastor who has to bear that burden alone is a pastor that will struggle and be overwrought. And it's a church that will struggle and a church that will fall apart. God wants there to be men all over this building who would step up and say, I'm going to be a watchman. I'm going to be a caretaker. I'm going to step up to the plate and make sure that I'm providing and protecting my family, my friends, or the church at large. Look, I'm an American citizen. I'm not the president. But if we were being invaded, if they're coming down my street, if they're invading my, hey, I am accountable to watch and to protect my nation. All right? And the greatest generation, as we often talk about, those who went and fought in World War II, they were willing to go and die to step up to the plate. And how much more so for your church? It can't just be the pastor. There's got to be men who are willing to step up. What do we watch for? Well, there's some ideas. You can watch out for temptation in your own life. I can give you some of these references quickly, but Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walking circumspectly means to literally look around. Ever hear the phrase, keep your head on a swivel? Whatever that means. It just means don't be tunnel vision. Check right, check left. You know, be aware, look down, look ahead, walk circumspectly. And so we can't watch for others if we're tripping our own selves up with sin and flesh and worldly traps. We've got to be watching in this matter of temptation. Watching over your household. I'm going to read this one for you, Isaiah 56. Isaiah is calling out the leadership in Israel. Isaiah 56, verse 10 and through 12, it says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleep. This is good preaching. Amen. This is Isaiah. Bunch of dumb dogs that can't even bark. They're sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they're greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain, from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Would you want that guy in charge of your business? Ladies, don't say out loud, don't look at your husband. You don't want that guy in charge of your home. You don't want that guy in charge of your church. You don't have that kind of guy. You've got a faithful pastor here. We don't want that kind of man in charge of our country. That's another discussion. And I don't want to get political. Forgive me if I'm being political. But look, we want someone watching who's awake, who's willing to stand and fight. In other words, watch for your own heart. Watch out for temptation. But then watch out for your household. Be the watchman. God forbid we're the ones who are blind and ignorant and sleeping and on the couch, clicking through the channels or swiping through whatever we do on our phones while we're unaware of the battle. Real men are watchful. And before I move on to this next point, I think we ought to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and say these watchful men are men of prayer. These careful men, these caretakers, they're not only watching for temptation, they're not only watching and caring for their household, but they are watching in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, we find that the battle is beyond us. It's a spiritual battle. Verse 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Pause. Is it a spiritual or a fleshly battle? Which one is it? A spiritual battle. So that's why fleshly men cannot engage in this battle. We're all men of flesh, but if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And so an invisible enemy, a spiritual enemy, requires spiritual weapons. And then he goes and he lists the armor. And maybe, as the Lord leads, we may preach a specific message on this down the line this week. But after listing the armor from head to toe, he gives us the marching orders in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Even our prayers need to be led by the Spirit. And notice the next word. And what's the word? Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, it's not wrong to pray for the lost. Shouldn't we pray for the lost? Shouldn't we pray for our neighbor and the folks we're trying to witness to? But Paul right here has Christians on his mind. We need to be watching for the Christians that we know in our church, in our family, watching. If you're on guard duty and you're responsible for the safety of your platoon or your regiment and you're in enemy territory, it's a big deal if you fall asleep. It's even a worse deal if you're not there. You desert your post? You mean you weren't there? If there's a watchtower and you're supposed to be up in the watchtower so you can see as far as you can see in every direction and you're not there, you've left yourself vulnerable to attack. And folks, the watching is specifically referring to prayer. Now, there ought to be a man, and yes, ladies too. Once again, everything I'm saying, you can apply right to the ladies. It's a shame if the prayer is coming from the ladies and not the men. But folks, we men, we have to lead by example. We've got to be the ones in the watchtower. We've got to be the ones on our knees, pouring out our heart for our wives, for our kids. We're the ones that have to be wrestling against the unseen enemy. You talk about a real man. A real man's a caretaker. And you cannot take care of invisible needs and invisible enemies without this invisible weapon called prayer. And we wonder why our countries go into pieces. There's a lot of empty watchtowers. There's a lot of prayerless men. And the most fundamental, basic requirement of a man is to take care of those under his sphere of influence. And the greatest way we can take care of them is through prayer. Instead, we're just constantly caught by surprise. Oh no, my marriage is having trouble. Oh no, my kids aren't listening to me. Oh no, my daughter. Oh no, my son. Oh no, my grandkids. And we're always surprised by all these blowouts. Wasn't planning on mentioning this, but I'll just share it. I'm learning all about trailer life, you know, and we just got our trailer, which is a miracle. And I'll tell you, the quick version is it's paid off, and that's a miracle. That's a true miracle. It's biblical miracle. It's God did it. Hallelujah. But one of the first thing I did as we were getting it all set for the road, we're going to be out on in March, is I began looking at the tires. They seemed fine. But I began to look online, and my particular brand, they're called Castle Rocks. But the term for that in the RV community was China bombs. Now, that's nothing against China. It's just these are made in China, and they blow. Bam! And I thought, well, they look good. Tires are expensive. I don't know if I want to replace that. Well, we prayed about it, and we decided to go ahead and upgrade to some good American-made Goodyear tires. Amen! All right, and they were a little bigger, and they could have a better payload, and so we invested in those tires. I didn't buy I did not upgrade the spare. You know, it's the spare. And I was being a little cheap. I bought four tires. Just about died. You know, they're expensive. So we went down the road, and a few weeks later, where were we? We heard the blow, honey. Were we in the trailer when it happened? We were in the trailer and we heard this massive boom and it just shook everything. Of course, we're in a trailer, so it shook. We thought that somebody had lit off a cannon or one of those concussion fireworks nearby. Well, a few minutes later, my boys came running in and said, "Dad, the spare tire," was it you, Melody? She came running in, "the spare tire blew." It was just sitting there, and it blew all by itself. China bombs, okay? And it blew big. Wham! It was just like just shredded. And I said, Lord, I'm so thankful that wasn't on my trailer when I'm going down the road. Hallelujah. So I upgraded that one to a good old American made Goodyear. But you know what? If it had blown on the road because I had not taken precautions, whose fault is that? I could blame the tire. I could blame the China bomb people. But that's what they make. They make China bombs. It's my fault for not researching. It's my fault for not watching, for not looking down the road to say, okay, let me make sure those tires are solid. Could I miss something? Yeah, I could. So pray for me. Pray for me. But you know, the point is, it's my responsibility. And so many dads, they're just like, whoa, something blew out. Whoa, something blew out. My marriage, whoa, something blew out. But nobody's praying. Nobody's seeking the Lord for His vision. The watchtower is empty. Real men are caretakers. Here's the command. Watch ye. That's part of being a man. All right, I got to hurry. Number two. Real men have convictions. He says, watch ye. Quit you like men. That means be a man. Let's back up. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Real men have convictions. They know what they believe. They can find it in the scriptures. And they can even do a pretty good job of proving it from the scriptures. Not just spouting off mantras that you picked up on Sunday, but that you're a man of the Word. You would not respect your preacher if he got up and preached someone else's sermons and had no original heart message to you from the pages of Scripture. You would not respect any preacher who didn't seem to know his Bible. And the real problem in American churches is that in many cases, there are very few men in the church who could stand up and preach or at least explain the scriptures. And if you were to put them on the spot, they would be terrified and embarrassed and they're going to find a more comfortable church. Well, they'll never be called on. Every single man in this room ought to be able to, at very least, open the Bible and show somebody how to get saved. Amen? And ladies too. Husbands, could you lead your kids to the Lord from this book? Could you explain something basic like, Jesus is the very God of heaven. He is the Son of God. He is deity. Could you prove that? Could you explain that? Could you find a Bible verse? Somebody says, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in Jesus. What would you do? Folks, do you have convictions? A man, a real man, knows his Bible. He knows what he believes, but he also applies the scriptures to his life in an honest and a biblical way. That's what convictions are. Convictions are when we say, okay, this is what the Bible says, and based on that, I'm going to put my anchor down and live it in this particular way. I'm going to apply it in my life. All right, so the Bible says, be holy. So I'm going to be separated unto God. How? Well, I'm going to find out what the Bible says, and I'm going to separate myself according to the Scriptures. Just go to the basics of genders for a moment. I know I have to hurry up, but folks, you know, you're going to be tested pretty soon on your convictions about something as basic as male and female. It may already have happened to some of you at work, where somebody is asking you to go along with their lie and demanding that you are complicit in their lie, that you would reinforce their identity confusion. Do I need to be more specific? She says, you must call her him. She says so. Now, this is a tough thing, and we want to be charitable, we want to be gracious, we want to be godly, we're not trying to pick a fight, and I'm not even going to tell you exactly what to do about it, but you better think about it. If somebody comes up to you and says, I'm actually a cat. Are you going to be complicit in their lie and their deception and meow at them when they come in the door? Now, folks, that might sound silly, but there are places where elementary kids are being allowed to identify as animals. Look it up. No, don't. I'm not trying to just argue from absurdity, but folks, there is something absurd going on in our country. And you have to say, am I going to stand for right and wrong? Am I going to say, I'm going to be a man? I'm going to lead as a man? I'm going to take the Bible's responsibility as a husband if you're married, as a father if you have kids? We've got to draw the line against worldliness. Draw the line when it comes to evil communications, evil entertainment. Do you have any lines that you have drawn based on the Word of God? Real men have convictions. They apply it. And they stick to it. He says, be strong. Be strong. That means you're willing not just to say, this is what I believe, but you're willing to actually withstand the pressure that would move you from that conviction. I don't know if you're still in Ephesians chapter 6, but he says, we have to have the whole armor of God that we can stand in the evil day and withstand. The word is withstand. That means to put up against the pressure. You can say you have a conviction, but that conviction is only a real conviction is if you stay there with biblical, godly courage in the face of pressure. Real men have convictions. They stand fast in the faith, not in the flesh, but in the truth of the Word of God. And they ask God for His strength to stay and to fight. And that means there will be a price to pay. There will be a price to pay. I have to move quickly. Real men are careful. I'm sorry. Real men are caretakers. Real men have convictions. And finally, real men are charitable. That's the Bible word we see. We know that word means love. Verse 14 says, let all your things be done in charity. And we have to be done here, folks. But you can take the right stand in the ugliness of the flesh. And it profits nothing. Just a couple chapters back, the love chapter. You can speak with the tongues of men and angels, but if you have not charity, what is it? Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. And men, as much as it's important to oversee your flock, your family, your friends, as much as it's important to know the Bible and to stand for it, it's equally as important to do so in the spirit of love and sacrifice and gentleness and kindness, because this is where true Christ-likeness is seen. There are those who have stood for the right thing in the power of the flesh, and it's just ugly self-righteousness. And you'll use the Scripture, perhaps, but you'll destroy your wife. You might use the Scripture and just bludgeon your kids with it. You'll destroy them with it. Now, the Word of God is not like that. But in the hands of the flesh, in pride, in arrogancy, without the sweetness of the Holy Spirit, without the love of Christ flowing through you, you can do a lot of harm with good intentions. We have kids who don't want to darken the door of a church because of a mom or a dad. And let's just talk about dads here. The love of Christ was not there. Let all your things be done with charity. Your words should be seasoned with salt, with gracious words, merciful words, loving words, kind words. Your actions, your hands should be gentle hands. Your life should be a testimony of Christ-like charity. That's what a real man is. He's willing to roll up his sleeves and serve. He's willing to take a back seat for someone else's good. He's willing to suffer as Christ did when Christ went to the cross so that we could be saved. And it's the greatest example of manhood is what Jesus did when he laid his life down so you and I could be saved. And husbands, our call is to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That ought to be the hallmark of a godly man, that the love of Christ flows through you. Men, would you let God touch you today? Would you let the Lord revive your heart? Ladies, would you pray for your husbands? Pray for the men of this church? And whether you have that example or not, ladies, step up by the grace of God and step and fill that void. Revival needs to start with the men.